This week on Potlatch, the conclusion of a three-part series of comments by Sadie Neacook of Beryl.
Oh, Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes Benz? My friends all drive Porsches. I must make amends. Worked hard all my lifetime. No help from my friends. So, oh Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes Benz? Oh Lord, won't you buy me a color TV? Dialing $4 is trying to find me. I wait for delivery each day until 3. So, oh Lord, won't you buy me a color TV? Oh Lord, won't you buy me a night on the town? I'm counting on you, Lord. Please don't let me down. Prove that you love me and buy the next round. Oh Lord, won't you buy me a night on the town? Everybody, oh Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes Benz? My friends all drive Porsches. I must make amends. Worked hard all my lifetime. No help from my friends. So, oh Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes Benz?
Starting us off, Janis Joplin. Sadie Neacook served as magistrate for Alaska's North Slope from the spring of 1960 till her retirement this past summer. On this program, she recalls an incident late last year. She says the Alaska Department of Fish and Game told her in September they might declare an open season for caribou that December. But that month, the area near Barrow was flooded with a gigantic herd of caribou. In fact, the caribou were trampling animal traps in the northern area. Sadie Neacook called the Department of Fish and Game to investigate the situation, but she said she was told all the appropriate Fish and Game officials would be on vacation until the middle of January. So she decided not to have to judge Fish and Game violations of her friends and neighbors. She decided instead to disqualify herself and ask that violators be brought to trial before another judge in another area. We'll hear Sadie after this by Linda Ronstadt.
Shadow. used to get so frustrated over the Game Commission's decisions when they would come up here and try to stop our people from hunting the things that they really need. Their main concern last year, when I failed to get any response from the Game Commission about the caribou, was what really got me going, because we were given permits, you know, to hunt a caribou. Each home was permitted one caribou until it was decided that we could get another one, and the permits only existed somewhere in the number of 375 permits per barrel, and that meant only one caribou to each household, a family, regardless of the number in each family. Now, as you know, you've been in contact where you've been in homes where they're all big families. They're not just one or two in a family. They're six up to maybe 14 kids in a home. And when you have to go and buy your supper, regardless of how much wage you make, it's, gosh, $80 every night for store-bought meat becomes pretty heavy. That's what we started out last year, by buying meat that was priced from $4 to $6 a pound. And if you wanted it, didn't even suffice your appetite when you cooked it. My gosh, with one cartridge you could go out and get a caribou, which would supply you, say, a week of whatever diet. We don't eat vegetables or grow vegetables up here to the point where we store or pick. Everything we get up here has to be bought. If our native subsistence line is cut, here in Barrow we have available the seal and the fish now, up the rivers. Now, if something is done about rules and regulations about that, we're going to live like the white man up here. We're going to have to be given some kind of a supplement for our subsistence. You can't go out. You may have a fish camp out there where you used to go after school is out, take your family out, if you have a chance to go out and hunt. But now that has no more meaning to us. What are we going out to catch for? We can't hunt. We can't store any meat anymore. The caribou meat that we usually dry in the summer for winter, and the fish, if that's cut off, I don't know what's going to happen to our people. But then the Game Commission says, well, you're rich people up there. And my argument to them, when that type of an answer came, I said, that's not the solution. Why don't you come up here and see how rich we are? Make a survey of this Northern. Well, then think about your next-door neighbors, like down in Selawik, or they never get to see a caribou. Well, gee, that's not our problem. We don't govern where the caribou go. But this year, we just had nothing but herds right behind us, you know, back of us here, and they were beginning to become a menace because we couldn't swerve them out. They were ruining the trap line, they were trampling what little trap line the people had around Barrow, those that weren't working. And these are the types of obstacles we meet with, and we have no good solution for it. So last year, when people were beginning to get hungry, those that were left out with permits, several permits didn't even go around the people of Barrow. There were some families left out, and all I could hear was beef from these families. When are they going to issue more? And I started calling, and I couldn't get any definite answer from the Game Commission. When are you actually going to come out and inform the general public about when and how rules and regulations of caribou, taking of caribou. I can't do it alone anymore. I know some of my people are doing it, but I said, you've been unfair too, you know. You didn't properly settle this with us. You didn't follow up the promise that you made with our people, that you would come back in December and maybe open another season for one more caribou. You didn't even do that. These accusations I made to the telephone and so on. And finally, when I couldn't get any definite answer, I talked to some of my court system heads, you know, who were, talked them about how we could best solve that type of solution, get a solution for it. And finally, I got so pressured into some of the things by my own people, and being a native, you know, that's hard. They think you're the devil itself when you start dishing out, this is the kind of rules and regulations that are being presented to me and they should be followed. Now, how come they didn't use their word about coming up and giving us more full information? Well, I called the mayor's office and told them what I was going through. And finally, I said, I'm so pressured that I may have to disqualify myself from hearing any violation among my own people. This was in December last year, when the herds were so plentiful here, and every means was taken to try and solve it, you know, with no full answer. And then by March of this year, Game Commission said, well, we're coming up there to talk to your people. And I wasn't even informed. They did come up and made rules and regulations that until the herds were fully watched to see how their calving season produced, then we will not have any open season until June of 1978. But, like for instance, if I take my time off, I want to get away from this community and get into an area where I can fish, dry, because we do have a big family, and I have a big family. We have a family of 12 children and then grandchildren. Some are married, and they're now, most of them, working through the summer months, which is very good. There's a lot of construction going on here in Barrow, and they're able to work. But then, you know, that doesn't supply us with our need for the meat. Thank you.
Don Crary and Ladies Fancy. Sadie Nyakuk says that during the spring hunting season this year, Barrow people...
They had a good season. I think 19 whales were caught. Two of them were where the meat was bloated, but the muktuk was good. And when the bomb, if sets a bomb into a whale and he doesn't put a line and that whale dies, it sinks. And then about the third day, it gets bloated enough that it'll surface on top of the water. And we can get it if the water is favorable to go out and get your canoe out there and go retrieve it. But the muktuk, the skin, and the blubber is good. And the tail portion, the flipper, what do they call it? I think it's the flipper, the back, fin type. That doesn't seem to affect the bloating of it, of the whale, doesn't seem to affect it. It's mostly grill, you know. And the whale being dead doesn't, usually being in the cold, doesn't usually ruin the tail portion of it. It's still good. But the meat and the body section of it, the tongue, everything, it's not edible anymore except just the outer part of it. Then we salvage it and store it like we do in our underground cellars. But most of the whales we got were small ones. No big whopper was caught this spring. I think the average whale this spring was from 24 to, say, the largest may have been 40 feet. But I'm not sure, but I don't think anyone reported catching one over that footage. So 19, when you have, say, like 3,000 or more people in the community getting shares and storing it, it's a good supply, like when you have a man out of your home serving in one of the crews, you get a pretty good share, enough to tie you over for next year with the meat. The whaler is the one that caught it that gets the most part. He gets the to store all the meat, you know. This is what we go through. Each season brings something different. And each season is so different from any other country up here. We've got so many restrictions that we have to solve to make neutral so that we may be able to get some without breaking the law. Inform whoever is in charge of... Well, my main concern was to inform the authorities about our problems.
About a time when time itself shall be no more. In the day when the trumpet shall blow. Brothers, face to face.
The music of Michael Murphy concludes Potlatch for this week. This is Jeff Kennedy. Thanks for listening.
Potlatch came to you from KUAC in Fairbanks. The Corporation for Public Broadcasting gave some of the money to produce this program.
From the University of Alaska, this has been a KUAC production.